You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Oh, I'm launching right in there, babe. I'm
Whoa, she's right in. Bold, she's beautiful, but most importantly, blonde.
Wait, I'm blonde?
Fooled me. Hold on, let me tighten this guy.
Okay. Fooled
you
me.
You couldn't tell? Can't you tell you have more fun than me?
I was a blonde moment, you know? It was an absolute blonde moment. Quinn, I actually, like, I don't know how much you want to put of this on the podcast, but, like, I do need to check in with you. How are you?
Yeah. Not great. It's really bad here. Things are really bad here. To our dearest readers,
Do you want to talk about it? You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to right now.
I mean, it's so on my mind. It's a little tricky, but I feel like I should say something, which is to say that, Koa's very good friend lost their mom this weekend, and it was really, really shocking. We had been hanging out with, we're friends with, it's two kids and we're friends with the dad and we're friends with the kids. We're friends with the mom too, but the mom doesn't typically come over to our house often. She's, been very sick lately, lots of different reasons, but, we had them over to the house the night we got back from the trip. And then 2 days later, Matt woke up because his phone woke him up because it rang twice, like he had it on silent, and it was the dad saying, I just found my wife dead and you need to take the kids. And so we like came and got the kids and brought them to our house, and they were with us all day, but it was also my first day of school. So we were with the kids in the morning, and then I had to get ready and go to school. And then luckily we have such an amazing community that they all rallied and helped Matt while I was in school to be with these kids, because it's not that being with the kids is hard, but the kids didn't know. So it was like very challenging to have that information. And every time I'd call Matt to check in, I'd be like, are you okay? And he'd burst into tears and be like, I just keep thinking that I'm watching the last few moments that these kids have a mom.
Oh God.
Like they don't know.
So much.
So it's like, they think they don't know that everything's about to change, and I'm watching them and I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know.
And it's such I was thinking about you all day yesterday, then thinking about Matt and thinking about the kids, and you know, like it's a gift in a way. You gave them an extra day of normal. You know what I mean? Like,
and I thought how normal they felt. I did feel like,
yeah, they knew what something was,
you know,
up.
This, well, I don't know that Koa's friend did, but her little brother seemed perturbed in a way where later Matt asked the dad and was like, is this usual behavior? And he was like, he might have sensed, because he said, I was obviously in a bad state, and so like, they knew something was up.
I also have to I was thinking about their father who was having to deal with this, and just like truly the crisis management that he,
God, those poor babies.
Yeah, I can't really share much more than that, just for their privacy.
No, of course not. I just know that your involvement in it too felt like, I mean, it was like, I'm so grateful that you have such an incredible community, and that he called you. And
everybody came in. Everybody jumped. People came. People showed up, and that they do in this community. That's that. I think that is like the other thing, is that we have this tight knit group in this neighborhood that look out for each other in all kinds of ways. Can I borrow your printer? You know, can you pick up my kid? I'll be there in an hour. And everyone's comfortable asking for those things and giving those things. And you don't ever think it'll be this. But certainly when it was, nobody shied away from being as compassionate and helpful as they could be, as you would expect. But that it's, you know, it's obviously it's not over. Like, it won't be over for a long time. And there's so many ways people are creatively finding to assist this family. And it's just, you know, I told Koa this morning, and he did really well with the news, just as far as like being compassionate and sad about it, but also he didn't ask me any hard questions, mercifully. Like, I was like, please don't let the next question be like, are you gonna die? You know, like, you do worry with kids, like, what they away from things like this. But obviously, I kept being like, why am I even complaining? Like, I don't have to tell them the hard news that, you know, this dad has to bring to these kids.
Of course. I mean, it's all, but I think, you know, I'm sure, like, he heard from you, and I'm sure he'll come to you with questions later. I think that's also how you process things, you know, the shock and sort of understanding the context of it. I just, that had to be really hard for Matt. I don't know how he did that. And I'm really proud of you both. And what a time to start school for you. Jesus Christ. Did you get to talk to anybody about it at school, weirdly?
No, you know, I have to be honest and say that, like, I had a really surreal first day of school, which is to say I was not able to, like, actually be present, and weird things were making me cry. So I was like, you know, like, I'm actually, like, do pretty well in the face of crisis in some ways.
Yeah.
But I also probably do well because I compartmentalize and do strange things. Like, we all do strange things when we're
all weird,
and I'm no exception to the rule. So my brain was like filing things away in strange ways and places, and I was getting like very stressed out. Like, I got really stressed out putting the kids to bed last night, and like kind of yelled at them, and it was like, I was like, what am I doing? Like, it, like, I was behaving very bizarrely in class. Like, a teacher would make a joke and I would laugh like really loud and hard in like an inappropriate way and be like, and not even have thought the joke was funny. Like, I don't know what I was doing. I was,
listen, I was next existing. Week is a new week. First impressions are not everything. You have,
well,
you have...
I will say that I could see through the fog that I liked the three teachers. I took three classes. I was in school like from 2 to 9 and I was like, that's a long time, like 7 hours of like active listening.
Yeah.
That is not active listening because you're also, your brain is like, oh my God, this person is dead. And like thinking about that so much and what that means and what that means for that family. And just, you know, it was a very, and then every time I left class to call Matt and have him like burst into tears, I was like, this is a very weird day. But I knew I needed to get there because like, the absence policy is so strict that I would have really screwed myself if I couldn't show up for it. So I was like, kept telling myself, you don't need to do anything more than just show up.
Yeah.
Like, just sit down in a seat and be in this class. But then the teachers were, because it was day one, they were doing things like, why do you want to be a social worker? Let's go around the room and introduce ourselves.
Oh God.
And it
Let's
was
play a
so
fun
wild
game.
Because they would be like, you know, what's your background? And what do you know, all those questions. And it was so odd because I'm having to tell people that my background is in like some form of public speaking, basically, or theater, or like, you know, calling attention to that. And simultaneously, my voice was crazy shaking, like I was going to cry, or like I couldn't, like I was so shy that I couldn't speak. And I could hear me doing it. And I was like, get it under control. In this way where I felt like the teacher's feeling sorry for me. Like, they were like, she's so shy, but that's not lining up with what she's saying she does for a living. Like, the whole thing, I was like, this is so fucking crazy that I can't just tell everybody, like, I'm not okay. But, like, that would be a really weird way to start the year, too. So I just like had to file it away and try to figure out how to do as little as possible. Like when I was like called to talk, I would be like, how few words can I say to get through this assignment of having to speak?
Oh my God. Quinn, yesterday sounded like hell, and I'm really proud of you. You got through. And I also hope you take all the time you need to grieve and process and, you know, take care of you. That sounds like a really fucking awful circumstance. And I'm so glad that, like, Matt could call you and cry. I'm so glad Matt was able to take the kids. But, like, holy shit. Holy mm-hmm. shit. I can't. I was thinking about you all day. I just, like, couldn't. I couldn't. Have, like, that is such a... To, like, know something about someone's life like that. Ugh. Jesus Christ. How old are the kids? They're 6 or 7 and...
I think they're, like, 5 and 7.
5 and 7. Jesus.
I know.
Well,
I'd say now a word from our sponsor, but we've learned from past problems that would just create an awkward moment where I said that and then started talking again, which
well,
is
if
not
it's
the
hey,
solution this
speak
needs.
Now, sponsors are forever. Hold your peace. Okay.
I got a nice thing to tell you. I'm not
going to
be able this week. We do have a bunch of people to thank, but I'm not going to be able to do songs this week. I'm just not in the headspace.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
But instead of doing a song, I thought maybe I could shout out Dan and Michelle Robb for writing us a hilarious email that Dan wrote.
Incredible
where he suggested
email.
That Carrie and I should do a TDC cruise.
Let's fucking go.
And he's like, Comic-Con does it. Why don't you? And
it's
I was
a
like,
great
yeah,
question.
Definitely scalable. The way Comic-Con is truly darkly creepily. And we're for sure that if we put together a cruise, we could fill that cruise ship
with tens
at least
of people.
6 people. And it would be like 3 couples. But we know Michelle and Rob would buy a ticket.
The thing is there's got to be like subsect of cruise. So the question
not Michelle
is
and
like,
Rob. Michelle, Rob, and Dan.
Yes.
Dan, Rob.
Here's the thing is I'm wondering if like what we could do is we could get on a true crime cruise. Okay, hear me out. And be like, hey, you do the rest of it. Quinn and I are going to do, we're going to have a 6-person subgroup of the true crime cruise.
Yes.
Where we'll handle activities for these 6. We'll party. And that'll be that. Speaking of cruise, it's interesting that the cruise has come up. KK and I have been talking or there's been chats of maybe us performing 6 chick flicks here at on a cruise.
Really? What cruise line?
I don't know. Here's the deal. We're still in talks. We don't know much about it. It's
yeah,
all
you very,
very
skeptical.
Ethereal. Well, I'm not going to count my chickens before they hatch, right? But what's appealing to me about this is if someone were to pay us to perform... while I can tour other countries on a cruise. That's really it. That would be amazing. Let's do that.
Best.
Let's actually do that. Let's do that. By the way, you're
you
listening.
Always find a good way to sponsor your travel. I got to say.
Do.
It's really like this trip around the world was sponsored by like it's really great.
It is pretty amazing that I've gotten to go there for work and things like that. In fact, I was supposed to. So I'm coming back to New York on Saturday. When we spoke last, I was like, maybe I'll like travel to parts of Europe I haven't been, right? And I was like, oh, we should definitely do that. Should definitely do that. And then I like thought about it more. And here's the deal. As much as my like state sponsored or my show sponsored travel throughout all of Europe has been amazing, at the same point in time, I'm a little over logistics and I'm a little over it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the idea
I do get that.
Of like, traveling to another country, I was like, okay, I could probably save like $200 traveling to another country, but like, I'm going to have to bring my show clothes. I'm going to have to cart my bags. I'm going to have to figure out where I'm going. And honestly, nothing was like popping up to me that was like, oh, I want to go there by myself. So I decided to just spend like 5 more days here in Edinburgh. So I'm here until the 31st. And then I fly back on Saturday, which I think is actually going to be great. Going to be great.
We're really excited to have you back in New York.
I'm excited to see your kids. I hope Griffin is as excited to see me as he was last time I was in town. So fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Okay. I'm crossing them.
So we're not going to thank Patreons this week, but next week are we going to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, to the Patreons, we know who you are. We just needed a break from it. And I hope you understand. Obviously, Quinn's been going through a lot.
I'm just not in like a singing headspace. Like, I will say,
I think,
like,
that's fair. I think that's okay.
I'm glad I'm here talking to you. It's always therapeutic. I actually have therapy today, which I'm
Is it your first time?
It's my first time in person. It's my third time.
Scared me there. I was like, wow, what a day to start.
No, that would be a really hard. I did two remote sessions from Denver, and now this will be the first.
Wait, how was it? How did you like it? Tell me.
I feel like I'm just talking. I feel like I'm just paying to talk at someone so far.
Okay. Well, it takes
I'm not.
It's a couple dates.
I don't feel I'm learning or growing, but I do feel like that would be a lot to expect in the first two sessions. And I feel like this person needs to get to know me. And I'm going to give it the full time that it exists, because it's this therapy for all fund where it's I get to have this like prorated therapy for a year. So I only get it for a year. So it's like, just stick around, do it for a year, see what you get.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of treating it as part of my education. You know, I'm a little
totally.
This is good for you to see what this is like.
I'm also very glad that you have that right now.
I said that to Matt. I was like, oh my God, can you believe I just started therapy? Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also, too, just starting therapy when you have like this huge life change, too, of going back to school and things like that. Like, that's a lot to handle as is. You know what I mean?
That's why I started it. I did not expect I would need it for such legitimate reasons.
Which, by the way, my mom listening to the podcast. And my mom really does love when I shout her out. But I got to tell you, she was listening to you last episode about Matt moving your wire and the frustration. And my mom was like cackling to me on the phone, like genuinely was laughing so hard. She's like, oh my God. It was really, she really enjoyed it. She's like, oh my God, I could see how angry she'd be. That would piss me off. So I just want to let you know, solidarity, baby. Kathy Abema, full solidarity of one Quinlan Posner. Don't tell Matt that. I don't want Matt to think he's being alienated.
I will say that for how much should I do talk about Matt, I think it's also important at this moment to say he handled yesterday like a boss, and he stepped up so hard and fast and quickly and was mobilizing the community and was there for those kids and being the way Matt is with kids, which is like a really good way to be. So I was like very, very, very proud of him. And
yeah, you were texting me that too. Just to be fair, Quinn was also texting me praising. She's like, Matt's killing it. And like, how lucky to have Matt be there for this. Be the one. Because I think Matt, I mean, obviously he was calling you and crying, but I feel confident to state, although I was not there, that he was giving those kids as much of a consistent interaction with him as anything else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know Matt was delivering consistency and compassion and love in the way that only Matt McCroskey can do. Ugh. Okay, so like, how do we like transition from this?
You're listening
to truly,
truly, darkly,
creepily. Emphasis on all three today, and I'm Carrie Ipama. And Quinn, it's your turn to tell a story first.
All right. I got this story. I should have written who you were. Somebody, one of you sweetie pies out there, wrote me and said you should really do this story. I think two of you even suggested
it.
And I was like, enough telling me to do this story. I'll do it already just to shut you up. Wikipedia, FBI, News Nation Now, all that's interesting, Oregon Live are where I got this information. And this is a very sad and strange story about a child named Kyron Richard Horman. It happens in Portland, Oregon in 2002 when Desiree Young and Kane Horman give birth to Kyron. And 8 months into her pregnancy, they are calling it Splitsville. And they share custody of Kyron when he's born till 2004. But then what happens is Desiree gets a diagnosis of kidney failure. And there's a bunch of medical processes she needs to go through. So Kane takes over full custody. And in 2007, he gets remarried to Terry Moulton, who is a substitute teacher. Mm-hmm. So now they're raising Kyren together, and then they also, the following year after they get married, have a biological child together, Kiara. So it's Kane, it's Kiara, it's Kyren, but then it's Terry.
This so, actually feels like, that feels like actually a lot to me, the names, but I want to have compassion, so let's keep going.
I understand that.
Could you imagine getting confused? You know, like as a parent?
Yeah.
Kiara, like that would be just, if you got mad, you'd be fucking screwed at those kids. You'd be, who would you call? Who would you call? Just a kita?
Ghostbusters.
That's it.
It's 2010. Kyren is now in second grade. And Terry's bringing him to school this morning, as she often does. He has a science fair today. So the first thing they do is they go to the gym or whatever, wherever they're having the science fair. I assume it's the gym. Maybe gymnasium. I am making that up, but that's what I'm picturing.
I just, when you said gym at first, I was like, oh, like with weights and barbells. But no, you meant gymnasium.
But don't you picture the science fair would be in the gym? That's
and
what
like fluorescent lights, and it's yellow sepia toned. You walk in and it's for sure yellow lights, right?
Yeah, I'm making it up, but I think we should all go there in our minds because it's mm-hmm. helpful to be specific. And I think that she walks him in to set down the big project that he had. He's super into science, this kid. And in fact, on this day that he's going into school, he is wearing a CSI t-shirt.
Oh, that's so cute.
Second grader CSI t-shirt.
That's really cute.
Hold in my heart in a special place. So she drops off the science project and then leaves the building around 8:45. And she says that the last thing she sees is he's walking to class from where they dropped off the science project. Now she leaves the school and she goes to a couple different Fred Meyer grocery stores, which I'm like, two grocery stores, we've all been there. One of them's out of like the exact mustard you want or something.
Literally the worst feeling.
So that tracked for me. That did not sound like, I feel like a lot of people might be like, two grocery stores, suspicious. And I'm like, nah, not at all. I went to three yesterday. So she's done around a little after 10, and between 10 and like maybe like a quarter till noon, she's driving around town because she's trying to get a little baby, what's her name, Kiara, to go to sleep. And her toddler has an ear infection or an earache or something, so she's really fussy. So that all fine. She goes to a gym in the afternoon and exercises. I assume they had like a
crunch,
what do you call it? For kids, like a
play. Oh yeah, like a play group, like where you drop your kids off, like a little like impromptu daycare at the gym.
Yeah. So then she gets home in the early afternoon. She posts a cute picture of Kyren at the science with his like science project that she'd taken that morning. She posts it on Facebook, and then it's 3:30. It's time to go pick him up. She and Kane and Kiara go to the bus stop to meet him, and I'm like, whoa. That seems excessive, just in the sense that, like, when you're a parent, you're always like, you go do this so I can do this. But I was like, the whole family goes to meet him at the bus stop. But here's where it turns for the worse, because he doesn't get off the bus. And they're like, where's Kyren? And the bus driver says, oh, he didn't get on the bus. And they're like, what? Is he still at school? So they call, and the school's like, he's marked as absent today. He didn't come to school today.
Wait,
he never showed up.
But she just had the science fair photo from him?
Yeah. She has a picture of him with his science project. And then she says he was walking to his first class when she left. He never made it in. Like, this to me, this part gives me heart palpitations, because I've told you this before. Like, when you're... The Department of Education sends a text message, at least in New York, at 11 a.m. if your kid wasn't in school. But you're dropping them at like 8. So it's kind of insane to think that if you dropped your kid at 8 o'clock and then imagine you got like a text at 11 that said they're absent, what would go through your head? And that has happened to somebody I know. No, that's not true. I don't know them. But they were on the Facebook page talking about that having happened. And then they were calling the school. And because they couldn't prove they were the parent, the school wasn't giving them information on the child's whereabouts because they can't legally. So they were basically like, is my kid there? And they were like, can't tell you. And it's like, but I got a text that says they're not, and I know they are, and you're actually giving me, like, I'm going to lose it. Oh, my God. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their kid ended up being fine, and it was, like, a mistake. But I just cannot fathom.
Wow. No, yeah.
What that, would go okay. through your mind if it's that much later in the day? Like, it's like, even hearing at 11, and it's been 3 hours, and you're like, what? My kid's been missing
this
for 3 hours.
This has been 8 hours.
But to pick
this
up your kid at... You've had a whole day. And, like, to be like, what do you mean they never went to class? So right away, the secretary of the school calls 911 and they start to search. Like, the search is on because this is a child. This doesn't – it's not like Kyron wander away. They're just looking. They're looking everywhere. It is, as I said, extensive. 5 days go by and they haven't found anything. No leads.
Oh my God.
Nothing. And like they're posting this like sweet little pictures of this sweet boy and saying he was in a CSI shirt. I mean, it just kills me. So the family makes a statement 5 days in that's like, thank you so much for helping to look for our son. We need for people to search their own properties at this point, cars, buildings, anything you have access to, talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, hang up signs. Like maybe somebody saw something that doesn't know that they saw something. Please don't stop. So they make this plea for the whole world to keep looking. They search for 10 days. That is, it was the largest search in Oregon history at this point. After 10 days, something strange happens where they're like, this is no longer a missing persons case. We're calling this a criminal investigation. I don't know if that's strange. It's like, you don't
is
think
it just
like
upping
a child.
The ante?
A second grader didn't, well, a second grader didn't run away. Like, we all get right. that. But like, I don't know what happened to make them like decide after 10 days to change the banner that it's under as a criminal investigation. I don't totally understand why that happens. But in the midst of this search, they are getting some information that is changing their view and making them suspicious of certain people. One of those people is Terry, the stepmom, who is the person that we are like, you told us that you saw this kid. You're the last person to have seen him, apparently. And something kind of crazy takes place where the investigators go to the dad and they're like, hey, your landscaper, Rodolfo Sanchez, told us that Terry offered him money to kill you.
What?
It's so beside the point in some ways, but also like, yes, exactly. What? To kill you. And obviously Terry's like, I didn't do that. And they go to the landscaper and have him confront her. But he's wired, but she doesn't admit to anything they can use to make an arrest. And but just hearing this from the investigators, I don't know about just hearing this. I don't really know what their marriage was, but I can tell you that they're like, dude, Terry wanted to kill you. And Kane's like, I'm out. And he gets divorced from her and gets a restraining order. He gets custody of the baby, of Kiara, and she has supervised visitations with Kiara because she's not looking great at this point. She's all right. You guys, sorry to even tell you this, but it's like, I bring all the information to the table. She did fail 2 polygraphs about Kyron, but obviously we can't assume anything about that. We can't use that, but we can use that to explain to you that from the investigator's perspective, that was troubling. And it may or may not be why. Well, I think on top of Rodolfo saying that, and then there's enough that it's like, so there's enough with Rodolfo. There's enough with the polygraph for them to be concerned. In August of 2010, they say that they're searching for somebody because 2 witnesses saw a person sitting in Terry's car outside the elementary school. So you're like, Terry was with someone? She didn't say she was with someone. Who is this person? What happened? And a grand jury subpoenas a bunch of her friends, including one of her friends named Dee Dee Spitcher. This is what Kane says about her and what the mom says. Remember the mom with kidney problems? She and the dad are like, okay, this woman, Dee Dee, was Terry's friend and was in communication with her. And I'm going to read this as a quote because I can't imagine what it means. That she was providing Terry with support and advice that is not in the best interest of our son. I don't know what that advice is.
I mean, when you have a son that is missing, anything like that is going to sound incredibly suspicious.
Well, when they look at Dee Dee's day, she left. She had a job gardening. And she just, like, suddenly left at 11:30, the day that Kyron was missing, and then came back, like, 90 minutes later. And they say she also helped Terry to buy a burner phone. So they're like, what was going on? Like, we just don't know, but no one has ever figured this out, and now there's these weird things that we can't answer for. She gets questioned. Her vehicle gets searched. I don't think they find anything. And then let's skip ahead to the next big thing. Basically, the search just continues, and that's like the major stuff that gets uncovered is those suspicious things. And they've spent $1.4 million by 2010. And in 2012, that summer, Desiree, the mom, files a civil lawsuit against Terry. And she says, you're responsible. You're responsible for what happened to Kyron. And it doesn't, it's like there's been no, there's no body, there's no murder,
there's not
nothing,
really motive.
But
even.
She files, yeah, exactly. But this lawsuit is going to try to say, this woman kidnapped my son, and she's trying to get $10 million. But the things they bring to the lawsuit are like, this marriage was really going downhill, actually, between Kane and Terry. And they subpoena all these emails that show that the marriage isn't going well.
Right.
I mean,
I was also wondering, too, as like part of the strategy of doing a civil lawsuit like that is a way to get more information and more evidence that maybe a judge wouldn't allow otherwise, because there isn't motive evidence or any sort of information or inkling why she would do it. But maybe this was also just to like gather more information, because if you sue someone, you can subpoena things, their records and stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And one of the things they say, here's the thing, none of this is like public enough that we can like look at the documents that they subpoenaed and agree with this sentence. But I did read that the emails supposedly revealed that Terry really hated Kyron.
Oh.
Which is so sad on every single level. And that she was blaming, this is all coming from the mom. The mom is the one saying this. The mom is saying, these emails showed she hated my kid. It showed that she blamed him for the problems in the marriage. And that I think she wanted this kid out of the picture. And I think she hurt him. So we're now in October of 2012. And Dee Dee, the friend, won't answer any of the questions that they're asking during a deposition, which is for this lawsuit. They are asking her about her whereabouts and her contact with Terry that day, and she is declining to answer any of them. She won't even identify a photo of Kyron. She won't say anything. She's taking the fifth on everything. Like, she won't say she met him. She won't say she met the dad. Like, she's like, I'm not going to say shit. So,
yeah.
For Kane's part, the dad, he says during his deposition that the investigators told him they had probable cause to think that Terry was involved in the disappearance. So now we start to see why it's not just like, oh, she maybe hired your gardener to kill you, but it's also you could not hear that and then unhear it, I don't think. And if they were having problems in the marriage and she had tension between her and his son, and then the son goes missing, and then the investigators say, we think it's her. I mean, this guy was like, get away from me, get a restraining order, keep my daughter away from you. We can understand why he would do that.
I mean, I also think, too, is to go through the loss of a child. We don't know what happened to Kyron, but if you were to lose a child like that, and to find out that, and to even have someone who wasn't supportive of that child in any way, how could you stay married to them? Do you know what I mean? Too, right. Like, regardless of, like, the whole Gardner thing, if you're dealing with a profound loss and you feel a whiff of, like, less than compassion or understanding from your partner, that marriage is not going to last. Spoiler alert, it ain't gonna, it's not it.
Yeah. Well, what ends up happening, strangely, is that Desiree, whether urged to do so or not by law enforcement, does drop the lawsuit because she says, I don't want to interfere with the ongoing police investigation. It seems like this lawsuit is maybe doing that. I'm going to drop it. 7 years after that, 4 years after she drops it, but wait, when did he go missing? Yeah. All right. 7 years after he's been missing, 4 years after she drops the lawsuit, a Portland radio station, KGW, says that there's a secret grand jury panel that is still hearing evidence about this disappearance and that they've convened on multiple occasions. This is, 7 years after he's gone. And the year after that, Desiree posts a thing on Facebook on this official page that they have that's the Find Kyron Horman page. And she said, stay tuned. Something big is coming. I promise you. But obviously posting that 6 years ago, what was coming or what did she think was coming? We can only speculate. There's a spokesman for the sheriff's office that says they get 1 to 20 leads monthly, depending on if the case is still getting publicity. So publicity is a huge thing for any investigation. And this one is no different.
Any missing person's investigation, too.
And, I'm reading this information. It's a little outdated, but not that outdated. So it said that there were still a couple of detectives that were assigned to this case that are still following up on these tips that they're getting. And the sheriff's office still has not released any of the details. They've not released the 911 calls, the case records, because they're like, it's an open investigation. So there's so many things that we don't know, but there is still a $50,000 reward for any information leading to this case's resolution. And obviously, if you get online and you look up Kyron, you can see one of those digital, like, this is what he'd look like now deals. But it doesn't look good, obviously.
I mean, he was in first grade when he disappeared, or second grade.
Second grade. Yeah, just a baby. I mean, that's the part that I'm like,
what the fuck happened? It's crazy to me that a child disappears in thin air like that. That doesn't make any sense. Any sense.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know this woman, Terry, but, like, the actual devil you would have to be to take that kid to school with his science project, take a picture of him, and then harm him, like, take him back to the car and do something is so unfathomable. I know that there are bad people out there, but I can't wrap my mind around it.
The picture is taken in front of the school with his science project?
In the school. Like,
what?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't. That doesn't make. That poor family. That poor family. That's absolutely devastating. Oh, I hate that it's a cold case.
Me too.
I hate
that. I didn't cover it for a long time because whenever I looked it up, I was like, no way. I don't want to talk about this. Like,
I don't want to do it.
Sweet baby that's the same age as Koa that's gone. Like, I can't do it.
The CSI shirt. Do you know what his science project was?
I could probably look it up.
Oh, poor baby. I just, like, that doesn't make sense. Like, obviously I think we are in a world where there are a lot of blended families, right? I have a friend who's a stepmom. I have another friend who just started dating a guy and is a secondary parent. What was it?
It was on the red-eyed tree frog. And the picture is so cute. Don't look it up. It will break your heart.
Okay.
He's in a classroom. He's not in a gym. I'm totally wrong. He's in a classroom with his science project. Maybe.
I mean, I think as a parent for a kid, like, if things don't work out with you and your partner remarries or repartners and you have a step, a blended family is a very common thing. This is a nightmare. This is an absolute, like, to it would be an, it would be awful it happened if it happened under your watch, but to be a step parent or to happen where like the kid was not in your possession when something happened like that, like I can't imagine. I honestly can't imagine. Obviously, I can't imagine. That's devastating. Do you think she did something?
I don't know. I think it's too weird. The whole thing's too weird.
Yeah.
If she did, may she rot in hell. That's what
may
I will
say.
May
she rot in hell. If she did. If she did.
If
fucking
she did,
rot
she
in
did,
hell.
She
if she did. If she did. But kill. If she did. If she did. If she did. Okay, let's take a break for sponsors. And the break is over as quick as it started. I got this information from The Standard, Today, Unilad, ABC News, CNN, and The New York Times. It is May 8th, 2019. What a time to be alive. And Amanda Eller is 35 years old. She's in Maui, Hawaii. She is a yoga teacher. She's a physical therapist. And she is an outdoorsy lady. She lives in Maui. And she decides she's going to embark on a 3-mile hike. So she's in the Makawao Forest Preserve, and that forest preserve is about 2,000 acres. And within it, I mean, it's Hawaii, so it's a lot of lava formation. So there's a lot of steep ravines. There's a lot of lava rocks. Like, it's not the most, like, well-trailed forest reserve. However, there's a 3-mile hike, so she parks her car at the head of the trail, and she leaves her phone, her wallet, and her water in the car. So this is like 2,000 acres, a lot of steep ravines, a lot of lava rocks. You've been to Hawaii. In fact, you live in Hawaii for some of the time, so you know the deal. This is a 3-mile hike. A 3-mile hike should not take a long time. She is wearing a tank top and capri leggings, but she doesn't return after a couple of hours, and her family starts to get a little bit nervous. Her friends are like, I don't know where she is, what's going on. So they start to look for her. And they find her car, and like I said, in it, they find her phone, her wallet, and a water bottle. So she is clearly, mm-hmm. she is raw dog in this 3-mile hike. When they see all of her stuff in her car, they get worried. They're like, was she abducted? Where is she? Like, the fact that she would go in the trail without a phone, without a water bottle is very strange, right? At this point in time, they start to get a search together, right? So first, there are hundreds. Then there are apparently thousands of volunteers who end up looking for her. They search by land, by sea, by air. People are rappelling into caves. They're rappelling into ravines. They are free diving into ponds. They are navigating like very rapid streams, just hoping to find her. Again, like Hawaii has a lot of beautiful natural resources, but also like it has a lot of beautiful natural resources, and like you can do a lot of things in Maui, unfortunately, all within this 2,000 acre forest preserve. Others are like following wild boars. In fact, someone looking for her like killed a wild boar to check for human remains in its body.
Wow. Really above and beyond this search.
Really above and beyond. Now to say that like someone like killed a boar, interestingly enough, one volunteer was attacked by a boar, you know, so I don't know if the same boar was killed. You know, it could have just been like, did you do that to retaliate because it attacked you? I don't know. So the initial hours of search, they find absolutely nothing. This hour turns to days. Now, usually at this point, if someone is missing after 72 hours, they suspend the search, right? They're like, we can't keep adding resources to this. However, they start a GoFundMe. Amanda's parents are offering now $50,000 as a reward to encourage people to keep looking. Because her family has not given up. Obviously. Why would they? There's no evidence. They have no idea what happened to her. So like I said, the hours turn into days. The days turn into weeks. And at this point, she is missing for 17 days.
Well,
it's not looking
good. She's not going to get found.
It is not looking good. 17 days. Her dad is an expert in GPS technology. And so apparently while they're searching, he is using this software to help them with the search, which what I believe is happening at that point is he's like looking where and being able to map who's searched where so he can see what parts of the mountain was covered and when, you know? So this $50,000 reward is offered. And then there's this group of guys, this three-manned helicopter that's like making its rounds, and it's consisting of Javier Cantaloupes, Chris Berquist, and Troy Helmer. And they're like, okay, we've stayed within this like region where we think she possibly could be, and we're not having any luck. But here's the deal. She has 16 days on us. She could keep walking. We don't know where she is. We think she's in this area, but what if we venture out a little bit further? So they take their helicopter and they go 7 miles from the central search area by air, which if you think about it, or like the way they talked about it is while it's like a 7 mile straight shot from the central search area, what it really is 30 miles of walking in rough conditions.
Wow.
They are skimming the area. They are searching. Their eyes are fucking peeled. They miraculously see a waving arm. 17 days into this.
What?
Yes. They see a waving arm. It is Amanda. She is at a waterfall near the Kailua Reservoir. She is in the bed of a creek with waterfalls on either side, so she was able to find fresh water. She has some like vegetation in her mouth that like, apparently was for dinner later that night, but she's in this area with thick vegetation. So she's like amongst it. The fact that they even could see a waving arm is a fucking miracle. So they're able to like descend where they try to reach her. They can't reach her. They have to go back up, go to the other place. They end up having to like locate her a couple times. But once they land, they see her. The rescuers talk about just like crying with joy when they saw her. Because at that point, I think one of the rescuers actually had met her. Like he was a scuba instructor and he knew her. And so when she saw him, the joy, there's like selfies of them, of her like on the mountain, which I'm like, the idea of taking a selfie after being stuck in a forest for 17 days feels actually kind of cruel. But she has like a smile on her face. She has lost a significant amount of weight, obviously, but she is alive. And she is in the same tank top and capri pants. She is taken to the hospital immediately for her injuries. Now, on the hike,
what?
This 17-day ordeal.
Doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. What happened was, again,
the selfie thing I'm not getting past.
I mean, it could be these guys truly, like, were taking videos, because then the Coast Guard came and they airlifted her up to go to the hospital. And so they were, like, the guys there who rescued her were, like, crying with joy. And, like, think she probably was just, like, she knew in the 72 hours that they would stop looking for her. She knew that, but she was just, like, holding out hope that someone would come upon her. And so I think, like, obviously she's happy when she is discovered. Like, of course.
Yeah, sure.
And she calls, they call her dad, and he's like, are you lying? Are you serious? And she talks to her dad. She's breaking down in tears. And I think they take a selfie to commemorate the thing. But, you know, it does feel like, I mean, you got to have photo, right? I don't know.
Okay.
It just seems like a lot. So on her hike, here's what happened. She starts her hike. She decides not to take her water bottle with her. It's going to be a quick hike. Little does she know. She heads off the trail to take a little break and to meditate and rest, which let me just stress, maybe we shouldn't meditate. Okay. Anyway, so she's in the clearing. She meditates. Dumb decision.
First mistake.
First mistake. Not leaving Never her cell meditate. Phone in the car. Not leaving her water bottle in the car. It's that she meditated. That's actually the big
more,
issue.
Do we need more merch that just says never meditate?
Never meditate. And honestly, you could die. You could die. You know? I mean, I just think like mindfulness is really dangerous. You heard it here first. But yeah. I'm really glad you're going to therapy. Okay. So on... So she comes back from this little break and she recalls like stepping back onto the trail. And I guess she like really went somewhere in her meditation. She really fucking scaled the depths of mindfulness, because she came out and she saw all roads, and she was like, all roads are looking the same. All roads lead to something. And she couldn't figure out which one she should take. She was like, they all looked the same. And frankly, I've been there. And that's when I access my phone with all trails until Matt cancels it mid-hike. So then, anyway, so she's...
Oh, it's so true.
So she's coming out. She doesn't know what she gets disoriented. And so she starts walking and she's like, she just kept trusting her gut instinct. And she's like, every time I would try a new path, I would like stub my toe or run into a branch or something. And I was like, oh, I'm not going on this right path. And so she kept meandering. Now, you know, it's she's survived, so we can laugh, and I'm glad she's okay. And I think this really did make her stronger, and it's a miracle she was found, and I'm grateful she is found. But in the article, it's like, I was following my gut instinct, and there is the mean part of me is going, maybe it wasn't right.
Well, we know it wasn't right. I think that, like, the answer is...
But I think she's saying the gut instinct led her...
Pretend you're a kid and you got lost at the grocery store. Like, the point is, when your parents would say, if you get lost, what do? It's like you sit down exactly where you are and you wait for me. Like, you don't keep moving because it's hard to find a moving target. We're like, someone will notice you're missing. Someone will come look for you. Make it easy on them and sit the fuck down. Meditate till they come.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Throw in another meditation app. Also, to raw dog a meditation without a phone, pass for me. Pass for me. I'm not doing it. So anyway, so she's sitting there. She's gone 3 days, and she knows they're suspending looking for her. So she's like, I got to find a water source. I got to see what's going on. She's like trying to find fruit that she recognizes. She eats a couple of strawberry guavas and she eats some wild raspberries. She also eats moths that land on her protein, but feels like very drying for the mouth, to be honest, yeah. For me. She tried to catch some crawfish, but not very successful. The thing is she had enough skills to survive this, right? She had enough skills.
Yeah,
she
that's amazing.
She followed wild boar tracks looking for a way out. So they were on something with the boar. But like it feels like she was like continuously moving in a way that I don't... To your point, maybe she should have sat down. But also, like, could you imagine being like, yes, I'm lost, but I think I can get back. And then sitting down and like someone finding you and being like, oh, you are a block away from your car. Like, I think there's a little bit of like... that hubris, that feeling of like, I gotta just keep going. I gotta be close. This looks familiar. I've seen a tree in a forest before. So she follows boars. She ends up sleeping in some of the caves that the boars would sleep in. While she was walking, she saw multiple helicopters, but could not wave them down. Like I said, she lost a lot of weight. She lost about 20 pounds in 17 days, but she had enough skills.
But we do not recommend this diet.
Please, it's not a diet. This is a near-death experience. It's not a diet. It's a near-death experience. And that actually could be also be another great pair of merch. I would put that on a lunchbox. Okay, so it is day 3. They stop looking for her. She goes and finds water. Day 4, she falls 20 feet. There is a 20-foot drop. It's a sheer cliff.
Oh, God. Yes. This is, like, so wild.
It's insane. The plants don't hold her. She falls. She breaks her tibia in her left leg. Because she is a physical therapist, she's able to, like, sort of splint it or try to, like treat it in a way, right? Mm-hmm. She is walking through the forest. She has abrasions on every part of her body. She has severe sunburn, and she starts to develop a skin infection. The next day, she loses her sneakers in a flash flood. So she is barefoot with a broken leg, and she is just like walking through lava rocks. When they get her, her legs are in such bad shape that they think they might have to amputate, but they don't. She's able to keep her legs, but you see photos of like she has skin infection on her ankles. Mm-hmm. And it's really gnarly. She fully survived. Truly, it's a miracle she was found. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when she is found, she starts crying. She's so incredibly grateful. She says, quote, the last 17 days of my life have been the toughest days of my life. There were times of total fear and loss and wanting to give up, and it did come down to life and death. And I had to choose, and I chose life. I wasn't going to take the easy way out. 4 days after her rescue, she held a press conference. And part of the reason was is her disappearance or her missing was big news, right? We didn't know if it was an abduction or anything like that. And so when she was found, it was miraculous in the way that she was found. And of course, the internet gonna internet, we've seen it happen. And there were assumptions that she was on drugs and that's why she was lost, or that she faked getting lost so she could keep the money from the GoFundMe. And she said that more than her 17-day ordeal, the lies that the internet spread took more of a toll on her.
I believe it.
I believe it. I believe it for holy. 6 months later, she sells her belongings. She leaves Maui. She goes and spends time with her family. And then she goes to India to help process her trauma.
Meditate.
And
then,
if you want to run away with me, I know in India, you can go your vote. All right. That's meditate by Dua Lipa, not levitating. That's meditating. Then in 2020, she returns to Maui and then she confronts her fear in this like really beautiful way. And she goes back to the forest and she realizes that the fear she had was all in her head. And she went on to hike in the same forest that she was lost in. Of course, she always remembered to bring her phone, and her dad would like pack her, made her like a care pack, so she had glow sticks and water and things like so that if she got lost, she would be okay. She also was in Maui during the devastating wildfires, and recently she left and she now lives in Minneapolis. Her dad, if you recall, was managing the GPS of the rescue. Mm-hmm. Her dad, he helped found a nonprofit that advises on search and rescue efforts using the GPS technology that helped locate his daughter, which they credit also helped in her recovery. But I just had to tell you the story of Amanda Eller, a person who was lost in the Hawaii forest for 17 days and lived to tell the tale.
Thank you for telling it.
You're welcome. And again, word for the wise, do not meditate.
Just don't do it.
I don't think, I mean, okay. Anyway,
here, close your eyes and we'll guide you on a meditation.
Yeah, Eric,
ready?
Close your eyes. Breathe in.
Listen to the sound of your breath. What I think we should do? We should just cut it after I say listen to the sound of your breath, and people will just be sitting there thinking they're doing a guided meditation till they realize the episode's over. Let's do that.
No.
Pranked you.
I want you sneezing. I want you sneezing. I want the meditation starting. And you sneeze. Gotcha. All right, you guys up? Hey, get back on the trail and go home. Go home and watch TV like a safe person.